Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's the 24th of March. This is looking at the new studio here that they have for the Blog Talk Radio, and it's all different, and I can turn things up and down, and interesting. Remember what we're going to be doing here. We're in Proverbs 24, if you follow along and you listen every day, and there's a couple of you that I know listen live, but the majority are at a different time, more convenient for you. Still, you'll know that today we're in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. And again, it's just a book full of wisdom that basically is going to teach you things that are very old that are very current. So let's just dive in here and just see what it has to say to us today. Proverbs 24, verse 1, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plans to do evil, men will call him a schemer. The devising of folly is sin. The scoffer is an abomination to men. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death. Those who are staggering to slaughter will hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, and he turn away his anger from him. Do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them? These are also sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, peoples will curse him, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight. Good blessing will come upon them. He kisses the lips who gives the right answer. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. I was reading this and just kind of interesting. If I could have shown this to some people that I've met that voted for Barack Obama in both elections that he won, they would have seen the scripture tells you not to. Chapter 24, verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change. Remember, hope change, hope and change. It's talked about hope here too. And if people try to find their hope in people, if they're hoping in people, if they're trusting in people, if they think that that's where the answer is, then they're going to be in real, real trouble. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. Wisdom, not community organizers. And you go, how dare you turn this around? Well, because I'm telling you that the person we have, the President of the United States of America, has claimed to be a Christian. And if he's a Christian, I'm not. If that's what a Christian truly is, I'm not. Because of the things that have been happening. A Christian is someone who listens to Jesus, who does what Jesus says, who receives the gift that he's given us. Listen to what Ann Graham Lotz wrote this morning. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 53:5, Old Testament, prophesying about Christ. Listen to how she put this down in a couple of sentences. She writes, perhaps thinking to satisfy the crowd's thirst for blood, without actually going so far as to execute Jesus, Pilate had him flogged. The flogging would have ripped the flesh off his back, exposing his internal organs. History records that flogging victims either passed into unconsciousness, went insane, or died. The miracle is not that Jesus survived the whipping, but that he submitted to it. How easy it would have been for him to defy them and without cursing, but in righteous judgment, sent them all to hell. Why? Why? Why would God allow his son to endure such physical torture? The answer had been given years earlier when Isaiah solemnly prophesied, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:4-5. We need to really introspect and realize that Jesus died in our place, and we need to then do what he said to do as a result of receiving that free gift. You do not do things to get saved. You do not do things to be saved or to stay saved. You do things as a result of being saved. And since you are now a Christian, that's what it means to be saved. You're a Christian. Your spirit is union with Christ's spirit. You now have access to wisdom beyond human wisdom. And if we want to know it, pardon me, you can go open the Bible and see that wisdom. You're not just going to osmosisly pick it up. You're not just going to all of a sudden know everything, because you don't. But we now have access. So you can read the Bible, and it's more than just a book or a storybook or an old book. It ends up being our life instructions. In fact, really basic instructions. And that would be before we leave Earth and be with Jesus. How can I remember that? If you like that, that this is our instruction book of basic instructions before we leave here and go be with Jesus for all eternity. Just remember Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. So we actually have it in front of us. And in the West here, and I said this a couple Sundays ago when I was preaching, probably, and I probably didn't emphasize that enough because I don't know, but probably everybody in the congregation on Sunday has a Bible at home, at least one. And I know there's some people that I didn't know, and I'm taking a guess. But for the most part, there's family Bibles. Somebody had a Bible. Somebody got a Bible. If you're in the military, you got a Bible. They handed Bibles out. You might have thrown them away. I mean, the bottom line is, I had a Bible given to me in 1956, and I wrote in it. I wrote my name in it, and I don't know if I prayed a prayer or they had me pray a prayer because I didn't know anything, but I have that Bible. In fact, I have it right in front of me here. I had it, it's in my desk. See if I got the right year. Nope, 58. See, it's so long ago I forgot. 58. In 6101 Oaks in Everett, Washington, on March 7th, 1958. So that was a lot of years ago. Wow, that was over 60 years ago, wasn't it? No. Well, close. Pretty close. And the bottom line is, did I pray a prayer? No, it just said presented to. There's no place to fill out a form here in this little Gideon Bible. But I still have it. And I've had it all those years. Obviously, if I have it in my hand now, I've had it since 1958. So we look at that. So almost everybody has access to and or a Bible at home or somewhere in on their person or in their even in their box upstairs in the attic or wherever you keep those kind of things. We live in the West where we can get to a Bible. And if you can't, you can go to a store and buy one. Or you could actually go to the Gideons, find the Gideons in your local town, and ask them for a Bible. They'll give you a Bible. They won't charge you for it. They'll give it to you. And so we have access to the Word of God, the written Word of God. Now, we have a lot of people out there that say they hear messages and they have direction from God and words from God. And it's okay and it's fine. Here's the bottom line. Anytime I hear those, I want to compare it to what the Word of God teaches. And if it's not, well, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I'm going to reject it. Doesn't mean I'm going to get all rude. Depends on how the person presents that word. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not from God. It's not. It has to line up with God's word. It has to really be God's word. Maybe put in someone's own terms, or maybe they've read it and they're being impressed now by God. But it's not going to ever be new revelational knowledge that goes beyond what the Word of God teaches and changes anything which is already established. The Bible says, do not move the borderlines. Don't move them. And there are people out there today teaching all kinds of garbage, complete garbage. We just got a call a minute ago to ask if we were a Pentecostal church. And it's interesting when people say that, because it's really, really tough nowadays to say, well, you're charismatic, you're Pentecostal, you're Baptist, you're Presbyterian. I don't really want to align myself with any of those titles because they mean so many different things today. And it's so weird when you say to people, well, we're just Christians. We believe the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. We do not believe it says that everything has changed so dramatically that it's completely different than it was 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, as I just read to you, we read stuff that's over 3,000 years old, and it applies today just like it did then. And before it was written, it would have applied, but people may not have known it. Now we have it written down right here. We can look at it and go, wow. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. That seems wise. Don't be envious of evil men. Don't desire to want to hang out with them. If you could get that message to so many of the young men of today that are involved with gang activity, the problem is they think of the things they see as normal. They don't think of it as evil or bad, and they think of those men as role models. So we have to get to those men, and then we have to get to the men before them. We have to get what has to happen is men's souls need to be reached so their spirit can be born. So if they're born again, that's when their spirit's born again, they begin to think differently. They're transformed by the renewing of their mind. It's not okay to beat people and to steal from people and to... Because if you don't have that happen, okay, those minds are going to devise violence. And with their lips, they talk of nothing but trouble. That's in the Bible. That's in chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. Think about it. And it says about devising violence, they ponder. That word ponder. They stop and they think and they find unique ways to do violent things. People are being shot and beaten, and we're just taking, the President of the United States has taken us back 40 years in civil rights. I mean, it's just insane the things that are happening now. And people are making decisions based on things that are lies. The huge influx of people raising their hands and saying, hands up, don't shoot. And it's all supposed to be of this young lad that was killed in Ferguson. He didn't do that. That never happened. As a matter of fact, he attacked the police officer. The guy that reported that was his compadre, his partner in crime, who they had just ripped off a bodega before that for some cigars and pushed the guy around that owned it. And he said, hey, my friend did that, man, raised his hands, you know, man. And then they added to that, hands up, don't shoot, so that makes a good deal. And there are people all over, not only the United States now, but the world, doing this, hands up, don't shoot, and having big, on television, on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they're doing this. It didn't even happen. That did not happen. As a matter of fact, Eric Holder, who I don't respect at all, but I respect his office, said it didn't happen. So you have a black man as the Attorney General of the United States of America saying that didn't happen. And nobody's listening to him. Oh, they want to, but not with that. And so we're still perpetrating a lie. So what happens is we perpetrate these lies because we haven't got to the truth. The scriptures teach us this, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to get to the Father but by him. And here's the deal. The truth will set you free. I wish that that young man was not killed in Ferguson, Missouri. I wish that none of the young men and young ladies and people that are involved in gang activity or even not involved in gang activity, all just innocent bystanders. I don't want to see anybody die. Jesus said he would, that none would perish, but all would come to him. We need to know that it's not okay that these young people, old people, in-between people are dying with gunshots, with bombings, with all kinds of things. Death is not a happy thing. But everlasting life should be. But we don't have people talking about that anymore. No, we don't. We can't mention that, you know. You can say Allah, you can talk about Islam, you can talk about the Prophet Muhammad, you can talk about... But when you mention Jesus, it just, everything just crinkles. Everybody gets upset. Everybody wants to shut you down. Everybody tells you you're not tolerant because they're not going to be tolerant of you mentioning Jesus Christ. And maybe if we started exemplifying it and actually exampling in front of people what Jesus did, we need to do what Jesus did, not what would he do in situational ethics, but look into the Word of God and see what he did. Then do what he did. Now, he suffered for us. As I read, he was pierced for your transgression. He was crushed for your iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, or you peace, was put upon him. And by his wounds, you are healed. You want to be healed? You want to truly know what healing is? I'm not talking about you're crippled and you can't walk and then you can walk. That's another healing. That's a great healing. But we're talking about spiritual healing here. You want to be right with God, and quite honestly, right with everyone. It's only through Christ that that's going to happen. No other way. It's not through being religious. This is, like I said, you can't go into a building that's a church and now you're okay because you've been in the building. You're just going into a building. You have to get into a relationship with Jesus. You have to physically understand that spiritually you need to be changed. And as a result, emotionally, many things will change in your life. People who have been evil, people who have been nasty and violent, people who have talked of nothing but trouble from their lips, have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they have become new creatures. If you're foolish, wisdom is not going to fit you. Chapter 24, verse 7 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. Wisdom is too high for a fool. If you don't want wisdom, then you might understand that if you don't want to hear wisdom, then you're foolish. Raka, or fool. You're not okay. And everyone who rejects Jesus is foolish. Now, to accept Jesus is not, now you have to put on suits and you have to talk cool and say certain words and always go to church and when the doors are open, always be there. That is what the world teaches you. We need to be completely transformed by the renewing of our minds, doing things, being convicted of things when they happen. We see something, we are involved in something. We come to know Christ, and then we find ourselves in that same position, and we go, there's something not right about this. I need to go to the Lord. I need to go to the Word. I need to find out, is this okay? And then you go, you know what? There's a check in my spirit. If it doesn't feel okay, then guess what? You probably shouldn't do it. But personalize that. Don't tell everybody else they shouldn't be doing that. You personalize it. You decide for yourself, you know, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to go down that road. I don't want to go down that road. And I want people to know that God is there. He's there all the time for us. He doesn't check out. He doesn't say, well, you know, I've had enough. But there is coming a time. There's coming a time. And it's coming real soon. The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, because there's only one chapter. There's 21 verses. It says this in verse 15. For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. I'm going to stop there for 1 second and just say this. All peoples, all countries, it means everyone. So the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. And here's the deal. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. So if you've lived a violent life, an evil life, if you've been an evil person and done evil things and devised evil things, and as it says in the scripture, or as we read this morning anyway in chapter 24, verse 1, if you're an evil man or an evil woman and you devise violence, your lips talk of nothing but trouble, you're going to come to ruin. You're going to come to ruin. Chapter 24, verse 20. For there will be no future for the evil man or woman. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. It's done. You don't get to live a life of evilness, being wicked and devising evil things and speaking evil things and then go to heaven because you say a couple words. There is a transformation that happens when you're born again. And it has to happen to every single person that will spend eternity with Christ. Otherwise, you will not spend eternity with Christ. And the day of the Lord is coming. It is drawing near. That is written in Obadiah. Obadiah was written about 500 to 700 years, maybe as much as 840, 50 years before Christ. So that's close to 3,000 years ago. And it's coming. So people say, well, when's it coming? I don't know, but it's coming. Because as of the writing of Obadiah, which was almost 3,000 years ago, it was a future event, and it hasn't happened yet, but it will. God's outside of time, so 3,000 years is like that. It means nothing. It does to us, the generations of after generations after generations of people that have been on this earth, lived and died, gone up and down, traveled, done things, expanded, contracted, all that. And you look at it and read the history, it's a long time, like that to God. So for the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations, as you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. That's how it goes. We need to know that Jesus died in our place. We need to know that that really happened. We need to believe it, receive it, and live through it. Then God's going to change you, and your heart will change, your desires will change, the things you want to do will change. And it's a process that takes the rest of your life on this earth as long as we're here, before he returns. And the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be changed in an instant and raise up to meet him, and he will descend, and the whole thing will be done. There'll be some other neat things that happen we can talk about. 1,000-year millennial reign, then another little battle with Satan as he gets put into hell for all eternity with minions and all those who have rejected Christ. But if you know Jesus, before his foot touches the Mount of Olivet, you confess him. You're going to be in good shape. If you don't, it's horrible what you have right waiting for you. And a lot of people are going to go, I'm going to take my chances. And you go ahead. That you can do that. But understand this. The day of the Lord draws near on all nations, everyone. As you've done, it'll be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. So if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. And wouldn't it be great for him to put back onto you what you put into other people? Love, mercy, grace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Think about it. We'll see you guys tomorrow here at 11 o'clock.